Welcome to the Living Waters Church podcast.
This week we have the opportunity to continue on with our fourth message in our series called Bad Apples. In the first week, Luke shared with us the background story to Matthew chapter 23, which this series is based out of. He introduced us to the Pharisees' passionate following of the law, but how they got off track by losing sight of what the law was about and instead making their faith about rules instead of about God. Luke challenged us to allow God to prune us by taking away things like hypocrisy, legalism, and idolatry. 2 weeks ago, before they went to Hawaii, which I'm sure we're going to hear lots about, Doug spoke on verses 13 to 15, where the Pharisees were taking the things that God had commanded and were using those things to give them status or using them to make themselves seem more important than others. Doug challenged us to live authentically and to live by example. Last week, Leanne spoke on verses 16 to 22 and challenged us to watch out for rationalization in our lives. She let us know that the Pharisees were being obedient to the law, but their hearts were not there. Leanne challenged us to lead an honest life and cultivate intimacy with God. If any of those messages are like, wow, that sounds like it was a great message, it's wonderful. You can hear them yourselves. We have podcasts located on our website. Even if you were here, it's great to go back and listen to those. Because once you have more context and you've heard more messages, to go back and listen to it again, sometimes the light bulbs begin to come on even greater. So I'd encourage you to do that. Today, we are going to take a look at verses 23 and 24 of Matthew chapter 23. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. This is what it says. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites? For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Blind guides, you strain your water so you won't accidentally swallow a gnat, but you swallow a camel. Interesting verses. Our scripture today is broken into two separate sayings that support each other. So we're going to start with the second and end with the first, just to keep you on your toes. So let's go to verse 24 first. It says, you strain your water so you won't swallow a gnat, then you swallow a camel. An interesting statement, to say the least, and one that seems a little bit distant to our context today. The straining of water and wine was not an uncommon practice for Pharisees of the day, as they wished to avoid swallowing a gnat or a bug that was considered unclean. Before they would drink, they would simply put a cloth over top of the cup and pour what they were going to drink through the cloth to strain out any unwanted extras. I would like to point out that Jesus was not suggesting that Pharisees were literally swallowing camels, though. That would be very difficult. This statement is a joke with a point. Luckily for you, I'm speaking today, and I know what everyone in this room was thinking, because I thought the exact same thing. Wow, a camel. I wonder how many calories that is. I know you're thinking it, and so I have an answer for you. I have figured it out. This is completely unscientific, but based on 2,500 calories per kilogram of beef, and camels can be up to 700 kilograms, that would make one camel, a large one, but if you're going to swallow one, that's the way to go. That would make one camel approximately 1.75 million calories. That's a lot of calories. A gnat, which would be mostly protein, on the other hand, weighs approximately 0.25 grams, which would make it somewhere around 1 to 2 calories. So following this very unscientific calculation, I need to know, what would it take to burn off 1.75 million calories? I go for runs fairly often, and I've got my little Nike Plus iPod thing that tells me how far I've run and how many calories I've burnt, and I know 1.75 million is going to take a little while. So let's say you wake up one morning ready to go for a good long run. So you decide, I'm going to run to Montreal. So you head to Montreal. This would take you about 16 and a half days, running at a pretty good pace and not stopping at all. Once you get to Montreal, you then need to run to Dallas, Texas, which will take you another 9.5 days of nonstop running. And upon reaching Dallas, Texas, you need to decide to run back home to Langley, which would take you another 12 days, for a total of 38 days of solid running at a significant pace. Upon reaching Langley, you would then realize that you need to do this entire run again in order to burn off 1.75 million calories. Now, this is in opposition of the NAT, the 1 to 2 calories, which would take, I don't know, sending a text message to burn off 1 to 2 calories. So this is the comparison that Jesus is making. And I think it's fairly clear that Jesus is saying that someone has missed something fairly significant. It's also important to know that both the gnat and the camel are unclean animals, and in an ideal setting, neither should be swallowed at all. The comparison would be like having to choose between eating a small but decadent chocolate and a double Big Mac. From a health perspective, you probably shouldn't do either, but if you're going to have to choose, the chocolate is probably the way to go, unless it's Lent and you've said you wouldn't eat chocolate like it is now. So Jesus is saying that the Pharisees had become so consumed with one specific aspect and outworking of their faith that they were neglecting the more important aspects of their faith. So Jesus gives us a deep and vivid picture with a point of straining gnats and swallowing camels. So keep all this in mind as we go through the next passage. So let's take a look at what Jesus was saying to his contemporaries. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23 says, "What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things." Jesus speaks of tithing the tiniest part of their income. So let's remind ourselves quickly of what the Pharisees, in their passion for serving God, were doing. As Luke exemplified in the first message of this series, he used the example of the rubber ducky. He used the example of, if the law said, "You shall not touch a rubber ducky," which it does not, Luke wisely pointed that out. But if it did say that, the Pharisees, in their desire to make sure that they fulfilled the obligations of the law, would build rules or a fence around that law in order to make sure they upheld it. So they would set up a rule, something like, "If I am not to touch a rubber ducky, I am not going to go in any bathroom where a child has been so that I can be sure that I will not come in contact with the rubber ducky." So they build this fence around it to ensure that they have met the obligation of the law. On a side note, this rubber ducky, when Luke used it on the first week, we asked my daughters, it's their rubber ducky, if we could use it, and they're like, kind of gave me this look like, okay, I don't get why you'd want the rubber ducky. So last night when I said, "Girls, can I borrow your rubber ducky for a day again?" Their eyes got like huge, like, "Wow, this is an important rubber ducky. You keep on needing to borrow it." So that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were setting up these fences or these rules around these laws to make sure that they fulfilled that obligation. So this verse that we have here today is a great example of what Luke was talking about with that rubber ducky. Our version here does not say it. Other versions include it. But Jesus was referring to the fact that the Pharisees were dutifully tithing on even their crops of mint, dill, and cumin. These are very small herbs. In Deuteronomy chapter 14, it said that the tithe should be given on grain, wine, and oil, not tar sands type oil, more like olive type oil. So these are all agricultural products. So the Pharisees, in order to ensure that they met the demands of that law, they included that the tithe should be paid also on vegetables, fruits, and nuts in order to make sure that they fulfilled that entire law. It's an additional fence around the law to make sure they would fulfill it. So picture with me the Pharisee bending down to the little garden on his door, beside his doorstep, and cutting off a tenth of these little herbs that you can see up there, and taking those to the market, putting them in a little container and taking them to the market and weighing them if he could, and getting a few cents for them, and then going to the temple and putting the few cents, giving the few cents at the temple in order to fulfill the law to support the work of the Levites and the priests, as the Old Testament prescribes. Meanwhile, he has passed beggars and lepers, criminals and the wounded. In fact, he's probably passed a fine overview of the destruction that Satan has caused around them. Jesus was not condemning the action of the tithe. Quite the opposite. He said that they should tithe. The heart of what Jesus is saying is that although tithing is good, there are more important or weightier issues than whether you are tithing on your herb garden. Be careful that you are not taking most of your time and attention to ceremonial detail and not spending any time on the more important matters, such as bring justice to those who are wronged, mercy to those who do wrong, and faithfulness to those who have left the faith. This section reminds me of an earlier parable in Luke chapter 10 that Jesus shared about. A man was traveling and was attacked by robbers. They jumped him, beat him, took all his money, all his clothing, all his possessions, and left him by the side of the road, bleeding and wounded, with nothing. It happened that a priest walked by. But the priest was either too busy or too proud to stop, so the priest just crossed the road and passed on the other side. Then a temple worker came by, and unfortunately it was the same result. He simply crossed the road and passed by as well. Finally, another man came by, a potential enemy, actually. But he was the one who stopped, bandaged up the traveler, and took him to be cared for. At the end of this parable, Jesus asked the question with an obvious answer. Who was the one who was a neighbor? Of course, it was the one who was a potential enemy. And Jesus says that we should act likewise. So let's head back to our scripture. Jesus says, you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income, but you ignore the more important things of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but do not neglect the more important things. More important things. Is there an hierarchy of commands? Are some more important than others? To put it succinctly, yes. Let me ask you, mint, dill, and cumin, justice, mercy, and faith. Jesus lists these three, and he jolts everyone's memory of Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And I hope you recognize these verses. It says, know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with their God. So we know what Jesus was telling those who were listening that day. But what are we, sitting here, able to take from this? I don't have a herb garden. I rarely come anywhere close to camels, other than the zoo, which I end up there quite often with three little girls. And I swear on the gold of the temple, oh wait, we covered that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? If you don't get that joke, you should listen to the podcast. Scratch that statement. I have never come close enough to a camel to be at risk of swallowing it. So what is Jesus saying to me or to us today? He's saying the same thing that he said then. We are currently in the season of Lent. Lent is a time where we put aside time or actions to remind ourselves that Jesus is the center of our lives. Lent is in preparation to celebrate Easter, which is less than 1 month away. Today, Jesus is asking us to do just that. Let me explain. This past week and a half has been very difficult for me. God has been working on my heart to bring me to a place of holiness and fullness in him. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me enough to do that. And I've been praying for the past week and a half what Jesus would be saying to us through this scripture. It wasn't until Thursday night while praying with my wife that Jesus revealed to me what he was saying through her. She started singing the song, "Nothing But the Blood of Jesus." You see, Jesus called the Pharisees away from the things that they were focused on. They were focused on passionately following the letter of the law, the rules of their faith. Jesus said, "You're doing well at following the law, but you're missing the point of the law. The point of the law is not about rules, but about relationship with God and with those around you." Today, Jesus is saying the same thing to us. He is saying, "Ryan, I love how desperately you want to serve me. I love that your life looks so good on the outside. Your three little blue-eyed, blonde-haired girls in matching dresses running up to you to give you hugs. But I don't want you to be distracted by that. I don't want the rules and appearance of your Christian journey to supersede your relationship with me." Each of us have that little Pharisee inside of us. Each of us have that area or areas of our life that seem to consistently take precedence over our relationship with him. So it may not be an herb garden that you are consumed with tithing on, but maybe there's something else. Jesus is saying to us today that he wants us to focus on him. Don't be mistaken, our actions are important, and if you're to read the book of James, you would find that out. We want to take care to represent Jesus well, but Jesus wants us to focus on what he has done for us. Jesus wants us to focus on the cross. How precious is that flow that makes me white as snow? Oh, no other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus was pointing the Pharisees to the main emphasis of the law, which was to love God and love others. And today he tells us to focus on him so that we will love God and love others through him. You see, produce expires. There has been a bag of apples sitting in our office for the past month. If you remember to the first message of our series, Luke had some apples that he was chopping up, and the leftover ones ended up on the floor of our office. And they have been neglected, not refrigerated, not looked after. I ate a few of them in the few weeks after because they were there and I was hungry. But they've sat there since, and to be honest, I don't know if you can see that, but it's pretty nasty. I don't want anything to do with these apples anymore. Because you know what? They've expired. I hope that you have all seen spiritual fruit produced through your life. But if we do not stay connected to the vine, the tree, whatever analogy you want to use, that produce, that spiritual fruit, will begin to rot and become useless. We can try and polish it up, shine it up, make it look good, but like the Pharisees had become, we can become more focused on trying to keep the fruit looking good instead of making sure that it is good. trust that the Holy Spirit is working on your heart right now. I trust that the areas where we are straining gnats are being revealed, and that Jesus is pointing to the areas where we are swallowing camels. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the sacrifice you made on the cross. Thank you that as we go through the season of Lent, we have the opportunity to refocus on you, to refocus on the sacrifice that you made. And so, Lord, I pray that through this scripture and through this analogy of swallowing gnats and or straining gnats and swallowing camels, that you would reveal to us those things in our lives where maybe we're a little bit off focus and maybe we're missing the bigger thing. So, Lord, help us to refocus on you and help us to love you and go deeper in our relationship with you. In your name, Lord. Amen.